All right. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
It's good to be without a sling. I tell you, I thank you for your prayers. I went in to see the orthopedic guy on Monday morning. They told us to call and get in as soon as I could. So, dismiss the children. All right. Those who are teaching can get a head start. And then we'll allow the children to follow them back to their classes. And we also have a nursery available for those who would like to use it. Since I'm not used to being in this spot, I didn't remember that part of it at all this morning. For those of you who are new here this morning, my name is Les. I'm one of the elders here. Our pastor and his family are gone for the week. They're actually on their way home today. I talked to him yesterday. They had a very good vacation and are driving up through the states from the south today. Planning on getting into Louisville this evening and then home here sometime tomorrow around noon, they figured. So they'll be back with us this week. Praise the Lord for that. I've entitled today, Julie asked for a title to the message, and I was going to call it Come to the Well, and go ahead and look up John 4. We're going to John 4 today for our scripture. And as I was preparing, the Holy Spirit told me that anybody can come to the well, but if you don't drink, it doesn't do you any good. So I changed the title to Drink from the Well, because we can go to the well day after day after day, but if we don't drink, if we don't partake of the water, it's not going to do us a bit of good. So I changed that actually later in the week as I was preparing to come before you this morning and bring what the Lord has. So let me get to where I told you to go in John chapter 4, and you all know the story. This is the story of the Samaritan woman. When Jesus stopped at the well, one of Jacob's wells. I don't know what significance that has, but it's one of Jacob's wells. And let's just begin. Would you please bow your heads with me? I'd just like to ask the Lord to guide my thoughts. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that I'll speak only what you have me say this morning. Father, that I would get me out of the way and allow you to use my voice this morning to speak to the body of Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning with verse 4, we'll read down through 15. It says, now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Is that 6 o'clock? Or that's noon. Okay, so their hours started in the morning. So this is at noon. He says there, lunchtime. He's tired. He says, come and sit down on the well. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? That's strange, because the Samaritans were a group of people that they were despised by the Jews. The king of Assyria sent the people from his area to Samaria to squat there and make it their home, to live with the Jews there in that area. And so they were despised by the Jews, because the king of Assyria obviously had won one of the battles, and so he was taking over part of the area. So these guys were squatters, and they didn't get along with the Jews. They were despised and rejected by the Jews, and so this was really strange, this woman, that she knew Jesus was a Jew and that he asked her for a drink. She said, why are you doing that? And so that's the little bit of the history of what's going on there. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." She wanted the water. She didn't understand what she was asking for yet. She really didn't understand yet. So, to get the picture of what's going on here, this Jesus has come. It's noontime. He's come to the well looking for a drink. And the first person that came to the well to draw water, he asked him, "Can I have a drink?" And because she was despised by the Jews, because she knew the relationship that they had with the Jews, she said, "I'm a Samaritan. Why are you asking me for water?" Well, he didn't have anything to draw water with, so he had to ask somebody for water. But he told her. He said, if you knew who I was. And how many times can we see that in our lives? If we really knew who he was, we would ask him for living water. And the water that Jesus gives brings life. It causes us to grow in him. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Where are you going to get it?" And so then she begins to ask him, "Are you greater than Jacob, who dug the well and made it for us to drink from?" And that's when he said that everyone who drinks from this water will be thirsty. But whoever drinks the water that I give will never thirst again. And the other thing that he said was that that water will well up in us into a spring of living water. We'll overflow into the lives of others as we allow Jesus to flow through us. Let's just flip a couple of pages, get over to John chapter 7. I really, really want you to see what he's talking about here. John chapter 7, beginning of verse 37, says, excuse me, "On the last and greatest day of the feast," and this is the Feast of Tabernacles. Gary, what's significant? You guys studied the feasts in your small group. What's significant about the Feast of Tabernacles?
Tabernacles was more of an individual.
Okay.
They worshipped outside by themselves.
Okay. Very good. Well, it was a feast that the Jews did once a year, or more often than that, once a year at least. And they came together for this feast, and Jesus was here at the Feast of Tabernacles. And he didn't join them at first, but he came in later on as they were having the feast. I did read back and look at some of the background to this. And so this was on the last day. And it says the last and the greatest day of the feast. But he stood, said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." So he's using this same term again, streams of living water. And it's not just flowing from Jesus to the people, but he says that if we'll believe in him, if we'll walk with him, these streams of living water will flow from us as well. Let's go on here in verse 39. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. It says up to that time the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So the Holy Spirit had not come upon them yet. Jesus was still walking with them. They had him there with them. And so they didn't have the Holy Spirit to guide them yet. But that's what he says he's talking about, that these streams of living water is the Holy Spirit rising up in us and flowing out through us to minister to God's people. You know, in Sunday school for the last probably 3-4 years, we've been talking about experiencing God and walking with Jesus Christ and learning to hear his voice and pay attention to what he's doing around us and getting involved in that. And that's part of the Holy Spirit's process of building the church. As we see God working in someone's life, maybe you're at the store, maybe you're walking down a sidewalk and you see somebody that needs something, and the Holy Spirit says to you, go and help them. And so you do. It's paying attention to what God says. Maybe you're at work, at your job, and you have a chance to minister to someone, and you take it because you understand and recognize God's voice and follow through and pay attention to what he's doing in your life and doing around you and getting involved in it. It's getting involved in what the Holy Spirit's doing. So in us will well up these springs of living water flowing out to water the earth. And it says there that it hadn't happened yet. I want to go to John chapter 16 now and see what Jesus was telling them there about the Comforter. John 16, 5 through 16. I'm on the wrong page. It says, now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. So Jesus is he's talking to the disciples here and the people that are walking with him. It's important that I go. And unless I went, the Holy Spirit would not come. But he said, it's going to be more beneficial to you that I go and the Holy Spirit comes to indwell in you. And we can see that today by seeing how the Holy Spirit leads us and takes us through life. So we can see that it was an important day. It says, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in him. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. In regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me. Jesus knew he was going to the grave at this time, and that they wouldn't see him for a few days, and then he would be back among them for a little bit before he ascended to the Father. But so he was telling them, it's imperative that I go. I have to do this. For your sake, because of my love, I have to go to the cross and I have to go to the grave. But, he said, you'll see me again. You know, that'd be hard to understand, wouldn't it? The disciples had walked with Jesus for probably, 3 years now? They had a relationship with him. It was probably hard to hear that I'm not going to be with you anymore. But the Holy Spirit will be there to guide you, to lead you, to take you through all of life's situations. And he will be there to lead you. He will be your counselor. And then on over in chapter 17, in the beginning of the chapter, Jesus said in verse 1, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed. And he's praying here for himself. He's interceding for himself to the Father. He says, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those that you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. So he's completed his time on earth. He's praying to the Father, glorify me through yourself. It's finished. It's done. This chapter 17 of John is probably one of my most favorite chapters, because he goes on then in 17 and prays for his disciples, and then he prays for us. He actually prays before he is crucified for the body of Christ that is to come. And it's pretty awesome. I'm not going to go on into that today, but I would like to take you back now to Ezekiel. I believe it's 47. I actually didn't write this one down because I didn't know that there would be this enough time to get into it. This is the account, the river that flowed from the temple. It's another example of the living water. And so I want to look at what Ezekiel saw a long time before what we just read about. It says, a man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, where the temple faced east. So, excuse me, this is very unusual to see water just flowing out under the door over the threshold of the temple. But again, we're talking about living water. So the water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar, and then he brought me through out through the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate facing east. And the water was flowing from the south side. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits. 1,000 cubits, a length of a cubit was the length from your hand to your elbow, so it's about 18 inches, they figure. So 1,500 feet, close to a quarter mile. For those of you who have watched drag racing, you know how long a quarter mile is. Or maybe you did a little drag racing on the road where you marked it off yourself. That comes from the 70s and 60s. And some of you don't know about those kind of things. Anyway, that's a long way that the water's flowing. So it's coming out from the temple entrance under the door. The doors may be open, I don't know, but over the threshold, it says. I'm trying to give you a picture of what's going on here. And the water's flowing and for 1,000 feet, or 1,000 cubits, which would be about 1,500 feet. It says, then he led me through water that was ankle deep. So this is chapter 47 in Ezekiel, for those of you who haven't found it. That's, okay, the water's flowing out, and now it's spreading out, and it's ankle deep. It's clear up over your shoes already. 1,500 feet from the from the temple. Okay, he measured another 1,000 feet and led me through water that was up to my knees. It was knee deep, it says. And I'm in verse 4 now. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. Man, it's getting deep fast, isn't it? Living water spreads out and does its job pretty quickly and efficiently. He measured off another 1,000. The water was up to my waist. And he measured off another 1,000. But now it was a river. I couldn't cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. You could get immersed in the living water. A river that no one could cross. He asked me, son of man, do you see this? So Ezekiel's looking at the water and seeing what's going on. He's, 4,000 cubits now? So we're a mile away. A mile away from the temple, and the water's a river. You can't swim through it. Keeps getting deeper and deeper. And it continues to flow. Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. And he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah. Arabah is the Jordan Valley, where it enters the sea, and that is the Dead Sea, I believe. Yes. So it's going into the Jordan Valley, the water's entering the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is the lowest place in the valley. There's no way out, so the water gets stagnant in the Dead Sea, for those of you who don't understand what the Dead Sea is. But it's stagnant water because there's no outflow. It has fresh water coming in, but there's nothing going out. So it's it gets stagnant. But it says, when it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. And I love that verse. Wherever the living water flows, there's live things. There's swarms of living things, living creatures, it says. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from Engedi to Eneglim. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. So if you're paying attention to what's going on here, beside the river, there's trees growing. And these trees bear fruit every month. So they're continually bearing. Here in Ohio, we bear fruit just once a year. And that's if the frost doesn't take the blossoms off the trees. These trees in this vision that Ezekiel saw are bearing fruit all the time. And that's how our lives are to be. We're to bear fruit. And This is the kind of fruit that we're to bear: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Fruits of the Spirit. But it says that these fruit trees are on both banks of the river. The living water is flowing past and giving them nourishment. And their leaves don't wither. We don't have to go through a dry season, guys. We can continue to prosper in the things that He calls us to. And every month they will bear, because the water that from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. When Jesus walked on the earth, there were so many people that came to Him and just wanted to touch the hem of His garment, or just be in the crowd and be close to Him, because they knew that healing flowed from Him. And so many times I remember from Scripture, He said, "Be it unto you according to your faith." You know, we've been talking about the Lego faith and learning how to walk in faith. And according to what we will believe is what God will do in our lives. Be it unto you according to your faith. If you have faith to believe God can do what He says He'll do, He'll do it. There's just all kinds of examples where Jesus walked the earth and took care of His people, and promises in God's Word of where He's going to take care of us today. So, be it unto you according to your faith. Drink from the well. Walk in the footsteps of Jesus and drink from the living water. I want to give you a chance today, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never walked with Him, to give you a chance to do that today, because it's so important. That is the most important decision that we'll ever make in our lives, to be a child of God, to walk in His ways and follow Him. So if you have never done that, I'm going to give you that opportunity today. So as the band comes, please, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, come. I brought a little testament with me today. I'd like to give this to somebody. It says in the back of it, this is the scriptures that tell us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." And then it goes on in Romans 3:23 to say that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But in Romans 6:23, then it says, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." And then in Romans 10:13 it says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." It doesn't exclude anybody. Everyone. So, and then there's a place in the back of it to sign it, date it, as you've accepted Jesus Christ. So, and as a Gideon, they ask us to give two of these away a week, and I haven't been doing that, so I'd like to give one away today. So if you've never done that, I'd just like to say also, Nathan told me yesterday as he was coming back, he said, Riley accepted the Lord just a couple weeks ago, and she was baptized while they were gone, so they were excited about her baptism. So, glory to God. We thank God for that. So just encourage them when she gets home. We need to lift her up and encourage her. So, thank you.